It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming back. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We're just moments away from the City Desk with Tim Riley. We're going to get some more phone calls here. By the way, if you're wondering about Katie Couric's replacement, Meredith Vieira, she wears no underwear on the air. This is from something. This is from somebody sent me this from AOL News or something or other.
Erroneously stating that she is the first female anchor, and everyone's forgotten about Connie Chung.
Connie Chung and
in the mid-90s.
Connie Chung and then, well, are they talking network anchor?
Yeah, network. And Connie Chung was co-anchoring with Dan Rather till she was kicked out.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Tim Riley straighten you out, bitches.
She's not the first network anchor.
No. And what about, what's her name? Jessica Savage, was that her name? She was just local, right? She was just East Coast?
No, she was, well, she used to do the network breaks on top of the hour, but she didn't anchor the evening.
She wasn't
news.
The, okay, she was sort of there, but she wasn't, she didn't have the anchor title.
Right.
And then she's dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Is that the woman who snorted cocaine?
Totally, where Jessica Savage, who was, she was, you know, the shining star. She was the great white hope for a lot of the women who wanted an anchor out there. And she got a huge coke problem. And then they had that internal videotape circulating of her, where she was going crazy on the air and throwing a temper tantrum.
I'd like to see that again.
Oh, have you ever seen the videotape of her?
No.
Jessica Savage, this is going way back. This is totally like into Bill Curtis, investigative reports territory. But Jessica Savage was this anchor in what, like the early 80s, late 70s?
Yeah.
And it was sort of like an anchorman thing. She was kind of like that Christina Applegate. She was breaking the glass ceiling and all that. She had a big coke problem and was known to be just a real bitch and a diva and whatever. But this is before the days of the internet, so it wasn't really widely seen, but she was known to throw these incredible on-the-air tantrums. And a camera guy rolled footage on one of her tantrums and then fed it, like, uplinked it to the satellite and sent it to all the affiliates, and it just started getting circulated around inside the news world, inside the news. And he dubbed in that, what is that, Wizard of Oz? What is the Wicked Witch of the West music? Yeah, and it's totally her going, I told you I need more powder on my nose! And she's just totally going crazy, you know, and she's just losing her mind. And then what did she die of?
I don't remember what she died of.
I mean, she was a huge junkie.
I'll have to look that up and get back to you.
All right. Well, anyway, the point is, Meredith Vieira says she's usually, cue unpleasant word, panty-less on The View. According to the Intermovie Database News, she finds wearing underwear with pantyhose redundant.
I think maybe the leaf of the table folds over that area, so nobody would ever wonder.
Folds over my area.
Yeah, and the little cotton part in the pantyhose isn't meant to be underwear.
I've heard of having folds over your area, but...
don't say that.
I'm sorry. I don't understand. Now, can I tell you this as a guy? Pantyhose do what exactly? Are they just like, it's like stockings, but they're cheap.
They're like stockings, but they're made to look like a second skin. But then they have like this weird little panty-like
thing. They go all the way up over your area,
yeah,
and your hips.
Yeah, but they're all pantyhose except for like this little part in the middle.
Well, what do you care?
It's like a little triangle.
As long as things are covered.
It's not really so much covering as it is just like a little, you know, diamond.
But you got clothing over it though.
Well, it's true, but I'm not sitting, you know, with a camera.
Are they see-through? Level. Is that the thing is? Like, I don't spend a lot of time staring at pantyhose. So, I mean...
No, not all of them, but...
Because it's darker up top, isn't it? I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Unless you're on The View.
Now let's all synchronize our periods. All right. We'll get these calls. We're not going to synchronize our periods. We're going to take these calls. Then we'll go to the City Desk. Then we'll talk to Kristen Salvador from PC Gamer Magazine, and we will not be discussing areas or crotches of any kind with her, except for those of fictitious video game female characters. Let's get our good friend Kristen from accounting, who joins us now in the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sister, and a happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to say thank you for talking about... Of course you can talk about my little soiree tonight.
All right. Well, I didn't know if it was, you know... You have some devoted fans out there, many of whom have weapons, and I didn't know if...
Well, but any fan, any friend of the Rick Emerson Show is a friend of mine.
All right, you say that until you're duct taped hanging in a closet somewhere.
Well, plus there's a cover charge tonight, so that'll kind of weed out any of the really crazy ones, I hope. I don't know.
Good times. Well, they got to spend that money on amyl nitrate anyways. So.
Exactly. Well, you know what cool thing about tonight is, though, too?
I have no idea.
Well, they're destroying the Dante stage as soon as Cleveland is done playing.
What do you mean?
They're building a new stage at Dante.
Uh-huh.
So the band, and I don't think this might be open to the public, But the band and certain select people will be allowed to get sledgehammers in hand and destroy the stage.
Just like that Headbangers Ball with Guns N' Roses, where they just totally destroyed the stage. Now, is it true? Now, Cleveland is a great band that I saw them in Holocene. Now, is it true that, and we were just talking about these guys last week, is it true that the Buttless Chaps are opening?
It's true. It was so funny when Jen Lane mentioned that band because I was like, hey, they're playing next. I have no idea what they sound like.
You didn't specifically request the Buttless Chaps?
I only requested Cleveland, which is what's kind of bumming me out because a lot of people, like Sarah, will have to leave probably before they even come on stage. Yes.
Oh, we'll get to have drinks beforehand, though.
But yeah, we will. It'll be all good. But I'm just kind of bummed because some people, you know, who actually work for a living might not be able to stay out and see the whole set for Cleveland. But yeah, the Buttless Chaps, and I can't remember the other bands that's opening.
What else do you really need to remember?
You don't need to know them.
All right.
But, you know, you can go to, wait for it, MySpace to check out Cleveland if you did want to hear their...
Are you on MySpace?
Oh, of course.
Of course. I wouldn't know. Somebody hasn't invited me to be one of her friends.
Yes, I have. I am one of your friends, Rick.
What I meant to say is that I've seen you on MySpace repeatedly because I'm very conscious of who my friends are.
Right.
All right, I have to go now. All right. happy birthday, Kristen.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
And I hope to see a bunch of people out tonight. It'll be a cool night.
And Cleveland is a fantastic band, by the way.
They are. You know, Rick, I wouldn't put it out to the people if I wasn't sure of myself here. They're awesome.
No, they bring the rock.
And they're good people, so go see them.
All right, there you go. Kristen from accounting. Happy birthday to her. Let's get... hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's Paul. How are you doing?
Hi, Paul. Lay it on me. Brother, what do you got?
Hey, before I have a question about the Listener Party 9, I have two comments.
Yes.
While I was on hold.
Yeah. Yes.
The purpose of pantyhose, Rick?
Is this going to be crude?
It restricts me from moving on. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And the other thing is, if you got a Bobby Brown Boulevard, I'm renaming my street this week.
To?
Rick Emerson Circle.
Thank you. Whereabouts do you live, sir?
Southwest Portland.
Well, okay, that's what
cul-de-sac.
What part of Southwest?
Raleigh Hills.
Well, okay, so fair enough. It's close enough. All right, yeah. So please do that. Now, it would of course be wrong for I would not encourage, promote, or endorse, or condone vandalism in any way. God forbid that somehow things should just be renamed to Rick Emerson Boulevard. That would be if those things were to just naturally occur organically and to happen. That would be
it wouldn't be a boulevard, Rick. It would be a cul-de-sac.
That's a lot safer.
No, that really is.
Around, you know.
Well, that's good because I am all about safety for the children, and that's what cul-de-sacs are all about.
Hey, I'm gonna come to the listener party.
Yes, thank you. Are you spreading the word about the listener party, which
always
is happening next Thursday at 7 p.m. at Sabalas?
Always.
All right.
But I want to bring a welcome back to the Portland Airways gift. And I was talking to Sarah, and she said...
This isn't some sort of a gift that you weigh out on a triple beam or something, is it?
No, I just want you to meet some friends of mine, Rick. And they are illegal aliens. Would that be okay? they have no green card.
I was going to say, they card at the door, so I think that they're probably SOL.
No, they have the fake ones.
All right, excellent.
But they can get in okay, but they just want to meet you.
Okay, well...
You speak Spanish.
Yes, you have them bring up... You bring them on down. If they can do a good Rob Halford, we'll let them in.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah, well, I can request extra horchata. You know, that's about all I need to do.
Will it be serving margaritas?
Yes, all right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, I have to go now. All right. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, Jessica Savage died in an automobile accident when she was in a car driven by an associate, rolled over, landed upside down in a culvert which was too narrow for her to exit the vehicle. She sucked water into her lungs and died a watery death. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
I don't know what to say after that.
Yeah, she had it coming.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek, Tim Riley reporting. Well, Mayor Tom Potter has launched a new blog as part of his City of Portland website. It allows the mayor to communicate his thoughts directly to you and events concerning the city. So we have on here 10 minutes with Tom. Mm-hmm. Apply for an internship. Tom's bio. Meet Tom Parker.
You know,
Tom's weekly calendar and Tom's bureau.
There's nothing more awkward. I mean, I guess there are. your uncle trying to kiss you, for example. But there are a few things more awkward than when some guy, like a Tom Potter, some guy decides that he wants to be hip, wants to be down with the kids, and so then he starts busting out the weblog, because you know the next thing.
MySpace.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know the next thing is, there will be a Tom Potter MySpace profile. You know that it's true. So you just, I'm telling you right now, I'm giving, it's every single day, by the way.
You
and I don't
post
know.
Comments.
And I don't know if this is the same guy doing it. I don't know if there's a series of different people. Every single day, I am now, I'm now requested, like somebody requests to be my friend on MySpace, and it's like a celebrity. So in the last week, I've had White Lion, I've had Wham, with an exclamation mark, by the way. I've had Hall & Oates.
Wow.
I've had Tom Likas, none of whom are the real people, incidentally. I'm under no illusion that the guy, that, like Daryl Hall and John Oates are tracking me down. What, they'd be my pal.
Tony Danza?
No, no Tony Danza yet, but that'll probably happen now. So I would be astonished if myspace.com/Tom Potter was still available. So you go scurry and look for that now.
So you can talk to Tom at portlandonline.com/mayor. He'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well.
Uh-oh. The Department of Children and Family Services was called and asked for a sheriff's deputy to accompany DCFS investigators around 1 o'clock over the weekend to the home of Britney Spears. A sheriff's deputy patrol went to the house with a DCFS investigator. No other details are available at this time. Time now for the Penis Watch.
Here's your Penis Watch for Tuesday, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
My eyes aren't working. I don't see it. It wasn't on the
my
paper.
My eyes aren't working.
It wasn't. That was my fault for not
reading. There's a late addition to the...
Take a look at my enormous penis.
Is that really how you just found that?
It's really hot in here.
Are you going through menopause? Is that it?
I don't know. I'm miserable.
Everything is going. We're hiding it well.
Less than an hour of misery is left.
It's like 90 degrees in here, is it not?
Tim?
Okay,
it's a little warm.
Maybe a little
tiniest bit airless.
Perhaps so. Well, the title of this story is John Needs an Operation After a Hooker Bites His Penis for Non-Payment.
Okay.
We're going across the pond of this to the UK.
All right.
A hooker who bit her client's penis reportedly so hard that he required an operation has denied grievous bodily injury harm.
Okay.
The prosecutor told the jury Luis Jouet carried out the attack because Brett O'Leary told her he had no additional money to spend after he paid her for her services.
Well, I wonder if she tried to upsell him halfway through. I wonder if that was like a whole sort of...
bait and switch.
How much... Seriously, you know how it is with hookers.
Yep.
It's like, you know, you think you think it's 150 and then they try to get additional tips for every service beyond their time. It's, I mean, who hasn't gone through that?
So that's that. And then he ended up getting bitten.
And then really, all there is to say about it. Let's end
this. And then you have the rest of the story.
The rest of the story is... It's sort of self-evident. There's your penis, elemental penis. Elemental penis. We should be wrangling. Let's wrangle Chris and Salvatore.
Enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Rick, I know this isn't happening till Thursday, but I wanted to throw in my 2 cents for a band name. I was watching an old episode of The Sopranos last night. Something Carmela said struck me. She was gossiping about Tony's sister Janice and her hostile womb. There's your band name. Voila. No. No, that's not what we're going to do. How about this? Rick. Oh, this is whitest thing ever. Now, we'll get to that later. Rick, I was walking around in Fred Meyer when I thought of a great band name. I saw a baby that wouldn't shut up. I don't know why I find it so amusing. I don't know why I keep telling my friends to their disgust. The name of the band should be The Baby Shakers. Either that or Malignant Monstrous Mess of Metal. Yeah, Ryan. All right, you know, Ryan, we're going to do neither of those, but don't let it reflect badly on you as a man. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from PC Gamer Magazine. Executive. Now, you are the executive editor. Are you the overlord editor, Kristen?
Well, you know, that's the name I like to use privately here in the office, if you don't mind, Rick.
It's just sort of goddess of all you survey?
That'll work,
all
sure.
Right, Kristen. And is it Salvatore? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are indeed.
All right. I try to look like a sophisticate, but it doesn't always really pan out for me. Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from PC Gamer Magazine, Kristen Salvatore. Before we even start here, and I can only, I'll mention this because, and I know that it's okay to do so because you mentioned it on the PC Gamer website, that you recently celebrated a birthday. You are?
I did. I just turned 34.
34. But now, so you are part of probably the first video game generation.
Agreed.
All right, so we have, how shall I put this? Our audience is,
careful where you go with this, Rick.
No, just, I'm trying to find exactly the right... They are a colossal aggregation of completely dorky, housebound geeks.
Aww.
No, and I say I am one of them. I am among them.
Every one of whom I hope has a subscription to PC Gamer.
No, they, this is your chance to pimp away. No, they are my people.
They're my people too.
They are the dorks, and I am among them.
Excellent.
So the question they all have is, how is it that you, who are a woman, became a gamer?
This is true. I am both a woman and a gamer.
Two of you in the world, right?
The thing is, you know, I have this conversation fairly regularly with a variety of people, and the truth of the matter is, you know, people ask, what game should I have my girlfriend or my wife or, you know, my mom, I guess in some cases, play to get into gaming? And the answer is really pretty much the same games that you would recommend to any of your guy friends who weren't into gaming. You know, the truth is, like, we play video games pretty much for one reason, which is that we like to win. That's the same reason everybody plays video games.
Yeah, but I mean, just correct me if I don't mean to traffic in rash gender stereotypes here. But it does
coming on.
I'm just which of course means cue rash gender stereotype. It does seem to me that while women can be incredibly competitive in many arenas, competition for women in video games typically means some sort of constructive behavior, where with men it means picking up some sort of a cudgel and beating a creature to death until it's a pile of goo.
Sometimes that is true. Yes, I actually think though, to be honest, that there are. We maybe are flying under the radar, but I think there are a lot more women out there playing a lot more hardcore games than maybe a lot of people realize.
Now,
we maybe just aren't so vocal about it.
Of people who are serious gamers out there, what percentage of them do you guys, and working at PC Gamer Magazine, you know of what you speak. What percentage of those are women?
What percentage of our readers or of
No, of
gamers?
Women, of the kind of people out there who are really into video games.
Right.
What percentage of those would you think are women?
You know, in my world, probably 60-40.
And now, see, when you say in your world, does that mean like in Happy Christian Land?
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I think there are a lot more women out there who are playing video games than maybe you guys realize.
All right, so let's say you got some guy out there, some guy sitting in the audience, and he's playing the, you know, whatever. He plays, you know, World of Warcraft, or he plays Doom 3, or he's, you know, the Unreal Tournament or something.
Right.
He's got some, and every guy knows this pain. Some woman in the other room who wants to be, you know, talking or sharing feelings or doing something with him. And he's in there just firing at, you know, a Cyclops creature with a plasma pistol or something.
Well, I think the first thing he probably needs to do is get a PC in that room. Because if he's playing World of Warcraft or Unreal Tournament, there's really no reason she couldn't be playing with him, huh?
Well, I guess my question is, like, how do you broach that conversation?
I think probably the thing to do is, you know... And I'm half joking, but the truth of the matter is, if you want the people in your life to be interested in what you're interested in, you got to kind of do it with them. So I would say the first thing to do is make it a slightly more welcoming, you know, environment. Instead of you just plunking down in front of your PC, pull up a chair. Would be the first thing I would say to do. And then the second thing is, and I hesitate to say, you know, casual games are the way that women get into gaming. But the truth is, I think a lot of us, you know, got into gaming with things like Bejeweled or Bookworm, some of the sort of more straightforward puzzle games that are maybe a little bit easier to compete against.
So you're the one who was playing like math games in 1985.
I was really into like Karateka and Lode Runner.
Lode Runner. Were you playing a lot of Oregon Trail too?
Yeah, I did play Oregon Trail.
Did you?
Yes, I bet. Lemonade Stand. Yeah, I played all that.
Lemonade Stand, Oregon Trail, and I bet you probably drowned your oxen on purpose. I know you did.
But that was, you know, when you think about it, that stuff was all, couldn't have been more straightforward, and that's the stuff that, you know, eventually led to me being insane for, you know, Unreal Tournament and Half-Life and that kind of stuff. But you got to start somewhere.
All right, so if I mean, is there some video game, in your opinion? Well, let me ask you this, before we even ask about a crossover game, because talking to Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine, and the article, and so it stands now, the article is actually all about how to get your girl to be into kind of the gaming lifestyle with you.
I mean, that was some of it. Actually, one of the women that we spoke with is a member of the Frag Dolls, which is a group of women that are essentially a team of gamers. And
right.
So Ashley was making the argument, that I'm making, which is, it's how to get women involved. But, in fact, I think we may be more involved than you already realize.
All right. So, would you at least agree, though, that there is a big division in, like, the games that attract guys and a game that attracts women? So, in my, and I'm saying for me now, I might be wrong about this, but I'm saying for me, I think probably the game that hands down captures the attention of more women than any other is The Sims. It's got to be. I mean, there probably isn't even a close second.
I agree. It seems to be capturing the attention of a lot of people, considering it's pretty much the best-selling PC game of all time.
Yeah, but I mean, see what I mean? It's a completely constructive game. Whereas with a guy, it wouldn't be The Sims. It would be like awful things you can do to The Sims.
Well, but that's kind of what I was going to say, like, you know, constructive being. Yeah, I mean, the very first time I remember when we first got The Sims, I was actually working for another technology magazine at the same company, Maximum PC, and that was the first thing we did was to figure out how we could, like, you know, build walls around one of them and just watch what happened to him, you know.
Let him die in the horrible kitchen fire.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, like, we created, you know, the whole team and then left overnight and left them to their own devices and came back and they were all urns on the front lawn, so.
Okay, and I don't mean this in some sort of an offensive way, Kristen. Are you sure that you're a woman? Are you positive?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, you are clear, because these all sound like very testosterone-soaked traits, is what I'm saying.
No, so, I just think that maybe we hide it a little bit better than you guys. Listen, we're just as sick and twisted as the rest of you.
All right. Well, so you say. All right. So is there a game that is sort of a 50-50 male-female crossover?
I think that you mentioned it before. The game that we hear a lot of people talking about right now that seems to be crossing genders and, frankly, ages is World of Warcraft. There's something about that game that is really engaging couples and in some cases, entire families to play it together. So that seems to be a really good game. It has a lot of the elements that appeal to a lot of different styles of gameplay.
Here's the thing about World of Warcraft. There are certain types of games, and this is just me as a person. There are certain types of games that just don't appeal to me because it's just not the kind of game I like to play. And I'm not much of a role-playing guy, and that's kind of always been the case. When I was in grade school, you know, I remember some guys going, come play this Dungeons & Dragons game. It's really cool. And I walked over, and I said, well, how does this game work? And he said, well, first I roll this dice and I write. And I was gone. I was already gone off to burn ants with a magnifying glass or something.
Right.
I am glad in a way that World of Warcraft does not appeal to me, because I think that if it did, I would be one of those guys sitting in my house in like stained underwear with like 9 weeks worth of beard growth. You know, the old food half-lifing away into the floor.
Fabric, how are you spending all your time now, then?
Well, pretty much the same way, but with Doom 3. That's it.
Excellent.
But, I mean, it would just consume my entire life. So, I guess if, you know, the couple that plays together in World of Warcraft, doesn't one of you have to be productive and have a job or something?
I suppose so. I mean, I guess you can trade off. But there are other games, too, because as it turns out, you and I are kindred spirits in that respect. I'm not a huge World of Warcraft player because I'm not that big on fantasy role-playing games. But I do love action platformer types of games. So the new Tomb Raider game, we're getting a lot of really good feedback on. And that's the kind of game that you can sit together in front of the computer if you're playing it on a console in front of the TV, and you can kind of pass the controls back and forth. So that seems to be working out pretty well for people, too.
I don't mean to be... Look, I don't mean to take this down to some sort of an untoward gutter level, but I do have to ask this because it's what every guy is thinking. So you're a woman and you're into, are you into first-person shooters at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I'm playing Half-Life. I'm actually playing the first Half-Life over right now.
Let me ask you this. Are you just deluged by men constantly who have never seen you but want to date you?
No, I did get asked the prom ones, which I thought was really sweet.
Come on, don't lie.
And my picture's in the magazine every month. They know what I look like.
You have to, what celebrity would you say you most resemble?
Gosh, I don't know. I should ask somebody here in the office what celebrity I most resemble.
You should pass the phone to somebody.
I don't know. I should pass the phone to somebody. Actually, everybody's in a meeting right now. I don't know. I should say somebody really fabulous. Halle Berry. I look just like Halle Berry.
All I'm saying is, it seems like a woman, you know, you're an attractive woman, you're in the first-person shooters. It seems like you could probably just walk out the front door and just have guys kneeling at your feet, like before you're even in the elevator.
I should try it.
I'm just saying, they're probably kneeling outside the studio here, and you're like 1,000 miles away.
You know, like I said, the most touching thing that ever happened is I did get an email from a reader asking me to prom. But that was pretty cool.
All right, let's see. It's 503-733-2970. We're talking to Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. Jeff, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I'm sorry, that's me. That's totally my fault. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. I've done that thing again where I hung up on him.
Uh-oh.
It's because I answer on the second bank by mistake.
Bye-bye, Jeff.
Well, I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't mean to, that was Jeff who existed for a mere nanosecond. Wait, let me try him again. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, yeah, I just want to comment on The Sims.
Yes.
You know, my girlfriend's got The Sims. She's got The Sims 2, all the booster packs and the whole bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And occasionally she'll say, so, do you want to work on a house? And, so I work on a house, all right.
Here's the thing about The Sims
I've got these three girls who live together. One of them works, and the other two do nothing but stay in the pool all day and drink.
Wait, is this in real life or in The Sims?
On The Sims.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you had another...
That's so strange, Jeff. That's exactly what my Sims house looks like.
And they're just, you know, in the hot tub, in the pool, get more drinks, get in the pool, call men over, you know, it's just...
Is this some sort of bizarre where you're like projecting the reptile half of your brain into your Sims game or something?
I think it's the illusion of what's going on in the house next door.
Isn't it true that there's some sort of a Playboy Mansion Sims game out there now?
There is. It's called, in fact, the Playboy game, if I recall.
That's fantastic. Now, is it based on like the Sims engine or is it just sort of a knockoff?
It is based on the Sims. I believe it's based on the same engine as the Sims, but the coolest thing to me about that game is that you actually play as Hugh Hefner.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which I think is pretty funny.
See, and I know that if I got plugged into that, it'd be like The Matrix, though. I would just stay there with the thing plugged into my head, and I would never put it down.
And just see Hugh Hefner.
Oh, yeah. All right, there you go. That's Jeff. Hi, Diana. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello. Well, my gateway drug was pinball, actually.
Well, that's...
Excellent.
See, and I have this whole theory about this. We're talking with Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. My theory is that the gateway drug to video games for women... Kristen, tell me what you think about this as an expert. The gateway drug for women was two things. It was either pinball or, starting in the 80s, it was redemption games.
Oh, no, I went straight from pinball to D&D.
Yeah. See, of course. See, you skipped right over. You skipped that. You managed to skip that era. But I think the brightly colored video game arcade of the 80s that had endless machines that gave out, like, tickets for which you could redeem, like, a small, you know, you could get, like, a small squeezy thing that squeaked.
Oh, sweetheart, you're assuming I had money.
Okay.
Right. I mean, when pinball games were a nickel, yes, back when dinosaurs walked the earth, yeah. You know, you could get a lot of games going, but...
No.
So do you own any pinball machines? I'm just curious. Have you ever had the chance to, like, have one of your own in your house?
Oh, I lived in a house where we had one, and, oh, God, I was a little crack monkey. so sad.
All right, there you go. That's Diana. Thank you. That's the pinball games don't even get me started, because they're like $3,500. I looked into getting one of those KISS pinball machines, and it was just, I have to sell my plasma for a year.
It's on my ongoing wish list. One of these days, I'm going to own a Ms. Pac-Man cocktail. You know, one of the ones where you sit down. Dying to have one of those.
Those things, I'm telling you right now, if you could buy stock now in a company that manufactured... or refurbished those sit-down video games, because that is the Gen X coffee table.
Definitely.
Of the 21st century, I'm telling you. It's exactly the way it is. We're here with Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Oh, hey, this is Sean.
Hey, Sean, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. I was just like, as soon as you said chicks and video games, the first game that popped into my mind, Tetris.
Well, of course. That's probably the biggest single gateway video game.
For anybody.
For women especially. I mean...
No, it's puzzle games all the way. My wife, like, she rolls her eyes anytime I'm playing any kind of game, but she'll sit at the computer and find Flash puzzle games and just play them for, like, hours.
Has she played Bookworm and Bejeweled?
Bejeweled, yeah. I don't know if she's played Bookworm.
PopCap.com is definitely, if you want to talk about the pusher of gaming gateway drugs, that's where you want to go.
Isn't Bejeweled that thing they sell late at night on television that lets you put your own name on, like, a piece of spandex?
Oh, no, that's the Bedazzler. But I think where you could confuse the two.
It comes with the Y chromosome. I never know what I'm even doing.
Right, but Bejeweled's the one where you click on the two diamonds and they switch places.
Exactly.
And if you get three in line,
Exactly.
Excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. All right, by the way, I've gotten 900 different links to your picture. You do look like Halle Berry.
Well, I have a picture. Where is my picture?
It's at the womensgameconference.com.
Oh, that's an old picture. Yikes. Pick up the next issue of PC Gamer. There's another picture of me in there.
Way to slide the pimpin' in. Look at you. All right, we're talking to Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. And so, all right, so the key is, if you want to get your girlfriend, your wife, or whoever, to become a video gamer with you, so do you think it's more about the game you pick or the approach you take with her?
Oh, it's probably a little both, but I'm going to guess the game that you pick. Because, you know, like I said, you got to pick something that people can win at. basically. Right.
So this is, so you would say if a guy's just, he's got his PC right now, but he's starting at zero. His wife has no interest, claims that she has no interest in video games. He walks into that store, and he's got to go looking for the one game that's going to try to get her interested in it. And you would say it's what? It's The Sims?
Oh, that's a toughie. You know, I would probably say it's The Sims, too. Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
I would.
Hey, let me, just on a kind of a related subject here, we're talking about World of Warcraft. I mean, do you know personally people, because I do, and I knew it with EverQuest too. There's people who you know, just get way too into this, and they're just like everything else in their lives just crumbles into dust. You know?
I mean, I think there's a danger in particular with games like that, but really, you know, with any game or any activity that you're putting so much of your time into that you're neglecting other parts of your life. You know, that's not a good thing. I've heard about some, and seen actually some hilarious stories about real life events kind of playing out in the World of Warcraft space rather than in real life. You know, parents,
right.
You know, scolding their kids or whatever right. In the game instead of in real life. So yeah, it does happen.
All right. And so I asked this then so I can follow up with this question.
Sure.
Have you seen that video that's going around of the guys raiding the World of Warcraft funeral?
Funeral, yes.
It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I won't bother to explain to anybody who hasn't seen it because it would make no sense. It would make me sound like a tool.
There's actually, and I'm going to pin my own magazine, but in the upcoming issue of PC Gamer, we're hopefully going to be talking to the guys who staged that raid.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
It's pretty funny.
This guy, Aaron, my friend Aaron, emailed it to me, and he's with the subject line of, dude, this is the geekiest and best thing you will ever see in your entire life.
Awesome.
I really sat there, and I laughed myself into a tizzy about it. It was fantastic. All right. Kristen Salvatore, the issue is on stands right now?
It is.
All right. PC Gamer magazine, and of course, the website is PCGamer.com.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. We'll have to have you back at some point, Kristen.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer magazine. And you can find that more at PCGamer.com. Yeah, and if you know the World of Warcraft video I'm talking about, then you'll know how fantastic it is. If you haven't, it's just like me trying to explain it to my wife. It's just pointless. All right, we'll do this. We'll be back. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back with more from Tim Riley at the City Desk, and we'll be talking about the whitest phrase ever. You stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show right here on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. Don't forget, we are 9 days away from Listener Party 9, happening Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalos Mount Tabor on 49th and Hawthorne. You stay there. Details on the way. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moments away from going to Tim Riley at the City Desk. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right, now we got that guy who was emailing earlier about Iran's nuclear weapons. All right, so Rick, and I thought he was a teacher. Rick, no, I'm not a only this program would ever get emails like this. This is why I love this audience. This is why I love our audience. I love everything about this program. Rick, no, I'm not a school teacher. I work at a hospital. I just read a lot about Middle East history. And then he says, I am the sister-in-law three-way guy. And my wife is the chick who broke her tooth off at the old barn after shamelessly throwing herself at you. You know, no one else gets emails like that. I will geek out at you if you need to know about Arab or Jew stuff. It's Matt and West Glynn. And God bless you, Matt. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up in just 9 days is Listener Party 9. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 9, kissing my ass, which happens at Sabalos Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne. That is coming up Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Okay, here's what we've got confirmed so far. The artists formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band are going to be performing Thursday on this program. We're going to be asking you to rename them. So they will be performing at the sort of climax of the party. And during their set, there will be a special performance. And we can't tell you who. I don't want to give away exactly who's involved in it. But coming up at the end of Listener Party 9, when the band is performing, there will be a special performance happening within the band's set. And there is going to be a special guest coming up performing the greatest duet of all time. So you want to be listening for that. That'll be happening during the band set. Also, during the party, about halfway through the party, we are going to be having an Unleash Your Inner Metal God contest. Your chance to wail on a metal classic for about 60 seconds with the backing of the band. The winner to be announced, a fantastic prize. So that's coming up as well. All right, we have Tim Riley coming up in mere moments. Let's go to the phones. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, it's Bruce.
A former godlike program director, Bruce Agler. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm just fine. I realize I'm a little late with this, but you've actually had busy phones today.
And plus the number of things that have needed correcting or fixing on today's show is legion anyway, so.
Well, I just wanted to make an addition.
Oh, thank you.
The first female evening news anchor was Barbara Walters.
That's what I thought.
In 1976, she co-anchored with Harry Reasoner.
All right, so not only was it not Connie Chung, it was Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters, but I guess the thing with Katie Couric, they're making a big deal because she's going to be the first solo, not teamed with a dude.
Yeah, she doesn't really care.
That won't last long.
No.
And those teamings with dudes didn't work very well, but they was a huge disaster, the thing with Harry Reasoner, and it was a huge disaster, the thing Connie Chung and Dan Rather.
Well, I'm sure Katie Couric's going to break that streak, though. I'm sure Katie Couric's going to be fantastic.
So how can you bag on MSNBC, though? I mean, not only do you have Chris Matthews, you've got the countdown with Keith Olbermann on there.
Well, I mean, I guess.
What about the dork with the bow tie?
And you got the greatest comedy show in the of all time, the Imus in the morning. You know, just watching him sit there in his cowboy hat.
He's just rouged up. You know, Imus when he's there, Imus kind of looks like when you see those photos of corpses from back before they really had adequate preservation methods, and they had to make it look lifelike for your family and friends. He looks like a bad, like, sort of wax marionette of himself, kind of.
And you get nothing like that on CNN or Fox.
Yes, I suppose. MSNBC and CNBC, they all just blur together, though, into one morass of stuff that no one watches.
That's the unfortunate thing about MSNBC is that nobody's watching. And CNBC, I don't know, I guess if you want to watch your stocks go up and down. But
isn't CNBC where they tried to give McEnroe that show?
CNBC, the problem with them has always been that, you know, after the markets close, what are they going to do? So now they run The Apprentice every single night.
And he's
three times in a row.
They gave McEnroe, who registered, a 0.0.
Yeah, I think he had a sum total nationwide of like 5,000 viewers.
Oh, that's the channel that used to have Brian Williams with that poor posture, kind of leaning to the left in the camera.
Like the whole studio was tilted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Eisner was on there too. Was it CNBC that gave Eisner the show?
That just started. And I think it also likewise had a 10,000 viewers or something.
0.0. It's the best thing ever. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Agler, former godlike program director of the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, the number of things on today's show that have been done incorrectly or badly is just, it's without end. And it's only partially because the studio is 140 degrees today and has zero oxygen in it. You know, we should actually have some sort of a safety expert come in at some point to determine whether or not there is actually any breathable air in the studio during the program. Let's all stop and take a moment.
Better breathe.
Doing my best.
Lucky we don't have a silent fence here.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen at the city desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting. Donald Rumsfeld said he will not engage in fantasy land speculation about a possible U.S. attack in Iran. He thought the Bush administration is concerned about Tehran's nuclear ambitions. The U.S. is on a diplomatic track, said he. I'd rather wait and see what our experts have to say, as they always do. There is obviously concern about Iran. It is a country that supports terrorism. It is a country that has indicated desire to obtain nuclear technology, but it is simply not useful to get into fantasy land.
All right. I miss that guy. If I could vote right now, I'd make him president, and then I would have him give a public address every night, and it'd be the highest rated thing on television because he's fantastic.
Jail survivor winner Richard Hatch has been segregated from other inmates at the Massachusetts prison where he's being held. He won $1 million in the debut season of the CBS reality television series, but was found guilty in January of failing to pay his taxes on his winnings and other income. Hatch's lawyer said his client asked to be put in protective custody shortly after he arrived at the Plymouth jail. He was taken into custody immediately, and he will be sentenced April 25th, facing 13 years in prison. Any prisoner could make a request.
And so there's some sort of a joke there that I'm not batting down the hatch.
Yep.
Is it down the hatch? Something. There's some sort of witticism that I'm not really able to make. It doesn't really help that he looks like, what's his name? But it looks like Tobias on Oz. That's not going to work out well for you when you're in the Big House.
A man in British Columbia was injured when he fell 100 feet off a cliff while attempting to retrieve a dropped wedding ring. Francois Voltaire, an iron worker from Quebec, was on a bridge with his friends when the ring slipped off his finger into a canyon. Witnesses say Voltaire tried to have a control slide down a steep slope, but lost his footing and fell. The fall knocked him unconscious. Firemen assembled a series of pulleys and ropes to bring him to safety, and the ring was not found.
Everybody's asking about the special performer at the listener party. And I tell you this right now. We've gotten some people. I have certain emails. They have gotten the performer right, but they got the song wrong. I've got other emails where it's the opposite, where they've successfully predicted the song, but they've come up with some completely different performer.
Me too. People are getting half of it.
Exactly. So within the band set at Listener Party 9, there will be a special performance featuring a special guest, and they're going to be performing the greatest duet of all time. So you just you can continue to ponder that.
One of the greatest duets.
One of the greatest duets of all time. I would say in the top five, especially with this demographic, with this audience. So you'll have to you'll be listening for details on that. That is Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass, which is coming up next Thursday. Next Thursday, 9 days away, Sabala's Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne, 7 p.m., featuring The Unleash Your Inner Metal God contest. The Bigger Than Jesus House Band is going to be playing with a different name. Of course, the Rick Emerson Schoolgirls will be in attendance. These people are all... I am not asking for you to call it. Please do not call. Please.
This program is pre-recorded.
Please do not taunt Happy Funball. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, fans of Madonna have snapped up almost all the tickets for a forthcoming world tour, despite extra shows being added in several cities. The tour that starts on the 21st of May is full in several venues, including seven shows at London's Wembley Arena. Also sold-out shows are in Paris, Amsterdam, Las Vegas, Phoenix, San Jose, and Montreal. The Confessions on a Dance Floor tour is named after Madonna's number one album.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back. There's not a whole lot of time in which we could talk about it, but I don't want to go another day without clarifying this, the widest phrase, everything. I don't want to do... Life is too short. We got to get it taken care of. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Like is coming up on about 3:06, Henry at 7. Join us tomorrow when we will be having Portland poker great Jack Elder in the studio. I'll have to call the folks at Wild Bill's, actually, and just have them verify this. But I believe he is actually still the number one rated player in the Northwest Poker League, and that's like 5,000 people. So some of you may have seen this poker show that Sarah and I did during our time off. It was on CNW14 and Wild Bill's.
That was fun.
Was a big part of that. Yeah, and it was...
Except for...
It was a Victory Bingo Hall, which is not a place. It has its own sort of...
That was the last time I was sick for breathing in all that secondhand smoke.
It does have its own sort of character there. You know, any place on the... when we were getting ready to do the bingo show, and I'm like, where are we filming it? Like, Victory Bingo, and I'm like, okay, where's that? 161st and Stark? And it's like even with those words, when they say 161st and Stark, you can just kind of... Like, you can just smell the emphysema coming. So we... Anyway, so Jack Elder, it was the two of us sitting at the table, you know, kind of narrating and announcing, doing the whole thing. And then Sarah was the, you know, she would interview people as they won their table. So, anyway, Jack's a great, great guy, fantastic poker player, and an old radio guy too. So he'll, anyway, he'll be in tomorrow talking about how you can suck less, your weekly poker game. Thursday, we will be having you name, the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. They're going to be performing at Listener Party 9, which is coming up in 9 days, and we need a better name for them. So we're going to have you, come up with that on Thursday. Don't forget, and I can't believe I'm plugging this, but you should watch it only because I'm going to have to watch it, because it's going to be one of those things everybody talks about, so I have to be able to, you know, it's like I don't want to be the only guy. So you have to be watching American Idol tonight. I already went to, I went to TiVo.com because it's Queen Week. Well, you don't care about that, probably.
No, I've never watched American Idol.
I've only watched it by accident. Like, I'll walk through the room when someone else is watching it. Like, it'll be on in the living room, and I'll walk through, and Laura happens to be watching it, and I'll catch, like, 2.5 minutes of it. But it is Queen Week, and they're going to be performing Queen songs. And I'm looking at the paper right here, and it's, I don't know where, where John Deacon went. But you're looking at USA Today, it's Roger Taylor and Brian May and Paul Rogers, which is what passes for Queen now, apparently. So all week it's going to be the people mangling Queen songs, which is one of those things that I just can't... It sounds hideous, but it's one of those things I just can't resist. So, all right. Let me read a couple of these emails. Rick, I heard you talking about this, but it should be noted that I live on Emerson in North Portland. It only requires a little alteration. Not that I would advocate or condone that. No, of course, neither would I. In no way would I condone the altering of Emerson Street or whatever it is. There's an Emerson place, and there's an Emerson house somewhere. Somebody told me about. Rick, I know I sent this to you yesterday, but it was too close to the end of the show to discuss. To recap, the whitest thing I have ever heard is the Applebee's commercial on your show yesterday. What's whiter than Applebee's? An Applebee's commercial with a jingle sung to the tune of Achy Breaky Heart. And then he signs it, Heck. He says, I'm a wasp from Tigard, and that ad even makes me feel like Dr. Dre. All right. I have to get this.
We have a few minutes.
All right, yeah, I'm not going to be able to talk about the whitest thing. All right. And it's a stupid, here's the thing.
Why don't you just blurt it out really quick,
because
we've been building
up to this. Because I feel like I could exploit it for a good 10, 12 minutes. That's comedy, the whitest phrase ever.
But we don't have 10, 12 minutes.
I can do it tomorrow.
We could do it tomorrow.
I'm now taking something here. I will get this call. I've now taken something that happened to me on Saturday that I was going to talk about Monday. I teased it today. It hasn't happened today because I'm convinced that I can get 12 minutes of comedy out of it. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to come in and I'm going to do it tomorrow and I'm going to say, well, I said the whitest thing ever the other day. What are some white things you've said? And then no one will have anything. No one will email. No one will call. Just be the sound of dust particles falling all around us in the studio. And if Sarah's slowly asphyxiating from the lack of oxygen. That's all. It's not going to work tomorrow. Like today, sometimes it's like today, you just throw out that phrase, like, blah, 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 BB gun. 500 calls, 1,000 emails. Tomorrow, I'll lead up to it. Whitest thing ever.
Like the llama.
Yeah, and then nothing's going to happen. All right, let's take this phone call. The love of all that is holy. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, it's Eastman.
East.
Your submarine fan from back in the day.
This is Noah, correct?
It is, Rick. How you doing?
Noah, I'm doing well. Now, for those who don't know, this is 2006. Noah lives in, what, Buffalo?
Very good.
Buffalo, New York. Noah is a fan from, as they say, back in the day. When did you first start listening to the Rick Emerson Show, Noah?
Yahoo Broadcast, 1999 and 2000.
1999, that is 7 years ago. How old were you then, Noah?
I was younger, so I was just probably 19 and 20 back then.
19 years old, you are now 26. You've become a man in the time that we have... hold on a second. Oh, I'm sorry, Noah. Hold on. Hold on a second. I'll check this. Hi, this is Rick. Hey, I'm doing a radio program. Hello?
I'm here.
No, whoever it is hung up.
Do you know who it was?
I have no idea. All right. So you were 19, you are now 26.
I'm turning 28 soon, but I know we don't have a lot of time left. You just said, what's the whitest thing you ever said?
Listen to you, the talk radio pro. Listen, Rick, I know we don't have a lot of time left. I have two comments and a question, and then I'll hang up and hear the answer on the air. No, what is the whitest thing, Noah? And you're in Buffalo, you would know.
Well, I told a bunch of my coworkers I couldn't get home for Thanksgiving, so they told me, what are you doing? I said, doing a friend down the hall. We're going to the Niagara Country Club to have Thanksgiving dinner.
The Niagara Country... Hold on, I'm going to write that down. The Niagara Country Club to have Thanksgiving dinner. That is fantastically white, Noah. All right, how's life in Buffalo?
Oh, things are going great. I'm waiting for you guys to find an absolutely don't endorse sticking it to the man live link.
I don't know anything about that. I wouldn't
that
know...
That or get a satellite radio, something to pick up. What station are you on now?
It's a KCMD.
No.
Oh, I see.
I'm looking on the website. I don't actually see the call sign. What's the name of the station?
No, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know anything about... I don't know anything about that.
Nothing about
it. I wouldn't know, in no way do I know that.
970 AM, whatever station this is.
Yes, we're... Okay, I got like 5 seconds.
Great to talk to you, Rick. I'll check in with you again later.
Noah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's... What a strange program it's been today. That is Noah. That's another one of the things that makes me feel old. Noah, again, he was like 18, 19 when he started calling me. Now he's... God damn, I'm old. Let's be done with today's show, shall we? Hey, like is next. World famous Phil Hendry show at 7. Don't forget tomorrow, poker great Jack Elder is going to be in the studio with us. We want to thank Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. We want to thank Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio Atlanta. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the able-bodied Sarah X. Dillon. For Johnson 970, prop part of the CBS Radio family. And in the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note because we're back in 21 hours. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Be safe, y'all. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. Bye.